We kick off hour number two. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com, the official credit union of Three and Out. Virginia, Nashville. If it was Virginia and Bristol, would it be different?
That'd be cool.
A lot of people said they liked the Bristol for one game, but it really wasn't the best, you know, way to play a football game.
It was hard to see.
Yeah.
I was there. Tailgating was cool. All the big field set up.
Mm-hmm.
Campers. Dr. Dan's just making us money, okay? You can't have it both ways. You can't complain about all the money wasted and then be mad again when someone saves money.
True. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, we're paying BYU $2 million. Well, I mean, you're paying BYU $2 million that you're only gaining by not playing them. So,
Well said.
It's not really. You're not really spending anything. Volstorm said, none of that about Nashville is slander. It's true.
I'm not going to knock Nashville.
Hipsters and Yankees have taken over.
Well.
I'm just reading the tweets, man.
I hear you. Honky tonk. So, you going to go?
Where?
Nashville.
No.
Nate, we could set up another bus trip.
Nah.
It's only 2.5 hours. We'd be in and out.
Lickety split.
Hickman, you want to go on with me? You going to take a little bus trip?
I'll just watch it on TV.
I mean, I'm always down for a bus trip.
Hickman's never got to go on a bus trip.
I know.
Charlotte trip was fun until the second quarter.
But that first quarter.
And before the game. Before the game was good.
Yeah, before the game was really good.
Cody McClure asking West Virginia fans about Will Grier and the Heisman.
What was is Will Grier elite? Is that the...
No, that was it.
Yeah, he looked pretty good that day.
He did.
His little receiver he had
David
that day.
David Seals, yeah. The fifth.
So you're just not interested in taking...
Who was the poor... Was it... It might have been Theo Jackson. Was it Theo Jackson? It was like first game ever in Pruitt. It's like, here, guard this guy in the slot as we blitz the house. Good luck.
Like, didn't work. It didn't work out.
Pump and go for a touchdown. Like, it probably wasn't Theo. I don't know.
It might have been.
It might have been, though. I'm not putting it on the player at all in that case. Pruitt was like, play soft, let him pick us apart. All right, let's pick the perfect time to blitz. When they know it's coming, they can see it, and we have our safety on their best receiver in the slot running a go route.
Grier does a little face mask tug.
Yeah,
sends the signal.
Pump and go.
It was easy. It was easy. But that fourth down touchdown. Whew. I mean, that was
a moment.
We thought we had a coach there.
He said, why you run off the field? Get your... Time out.
I got to watch a quarter of that game because I forgot what had happened, but one of my buddies got so mad he threw a poker chip at the TV.
And I'm assuming he broke the TV.
Yeah, he broke the TV.
Yeah.
So we had to sit outside and gather around the radio.
Tennessee football will do that to you.
I have no time for people that damage things over sports. I just too old for that. I mean, I know there's guys that break their hand punching their truck or had a guy punch a wall once. That wasn't good.
Who would do that? I've punched walls and pillows.
Pillows.
I never broke anything.
Oh, that's good. No, this guy's hand went through the wall. Through the sheetrock.
Come on, Nate. Let's get the bus. We can go crash with Burt Macklin.
Oh, yeah. She's got room for everyone.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Is it really breaking news?
Yes.
Okay.
Tennessee basketball has added 2023 New York power forward Toby Awaka.
We got Awaka? Hey.
Final four run.
Let's go.
He was Zakai's teammate, right?
Yeah.
So we got our power forward. How big is he?
6'8", 235.
Oh.
Not rated by 24/7 Sports.
Just like Zakai. under the radar. That's not a short joke. They just haven't identified him yet. You're not supposed to laugh at that. That wasn't.
I wouldn't even have thought about it until you said it.
He's like the stealth bomber, you know? He's undetectable. Mm. Toby Awaka. It is Toby, right? Not Tobe.
Toby Tobe. What's the
difference,
says
6'8", 240 from the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Had offers from Maryland, Tennessee, Bowling Green, Bryant, Manhattan College, the Jaspers. Also had offers from Marist, Foxes.
That's a really cool university.
Marist?
Yeah, they're the Foxes. The campus looks pretty cool.
Where is it?
It's in Jersey, isn't it?
No clue. That's why I asked you.
He also had offers from Northeastern, Pittsburgh.
New York. It's in Dutchess County, New York.
Nah, close enough.
St. Peter's, St. John's, Yale, and he did not have an offer from Seton Hall, but he was interested.
Really wanna.
Seton Hall backed off when he realized that Tennessee was after him.
They're actually probably because Seton Hall's coach left.
Yeah, they're not even, you know.
Yeah, I know. Now they got that really good dude that took St. Peter's to the Elite Eight that played there.
God, he might be messing up.
Coming here? It's Optimism Tuesday. I'm not optimistic, but I'm not pessimistic. You were averagistic? Is that what you said?
Averagistic. Averagistic. Yeah, averagistic.
Mm-hmm. So we got our. Are we done? Or do we still have one spot?
Well, that's the 2023. He's 2023.
Oh.
So he's.
Wait a minute.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What are we waiting on?
You know what we're going to do to this kid, right?
He's going to enroll early.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, he'll never see the floor.
Early enrollee. For real?
Though he is committed to the Vols as a 2023 prospect, reclassifying could be possible for Awaka, who plays for the same New York Lightning AAU program that produced Tennessee point guard Zakai Ziegler. Awaka was the Gatorade Player of the Year in New York after he averaged 19.2 points and 14 rebounds a game at Cardinal Hayes High School. It's coming. We're going to do it again. Because maybe it'll work this time.
Another big guy.
DJ Burns.
Raw.
Huntley Hatfield.
I mean, he's obviously not ready to play with that offer list.
No.
He's obviously a diamond.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, he's just not viewed that way.
I mean, neither was the guy. Had no offers.
Yeah. But this guy wasn't
his senior of high school last year, was it? That's what we're saying.
No, because he reclassified.
Zakai reclassified?
I think so. Didn't he?
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. Ziegler reclassified last August. And he was ready.
All right.
He was ready by like game 10.
What if this guy turns out to be the power forward version of Zakai, though? Like, you know,
what if he plays like that? Yeah.
So Grant Williams.
Pretty much.
No, I'm just kidding.
Are we saving room? How many spots we got left?
That's what I was just asking. I don't know. It depends on if this guy reclassifies or not.
So if he reclassifies.
Because we have such a good track record when we ask big guys to reclassify.
It's got to be tough for him, big guys. No,
if he reclassifies, we have.
At least he's SEC ready size-wise. I mean, 6'8", 240.
So was a five-star Brandon Huntley Hatfield.
Nah, he was mentally weak. This guy's from New York.
He was a five-star. This guy's a no-star. Hey, literally no stars.
Hey, I'm walking here.
We did it with a five-star, and it didn't work. We're going to pull it off with a no-star.
That's what Rick Barnes does his best work.
Hickman's right. That's where I was going to. I mean, hey.
I was having this conversation with somebody the other day.
Kyle,
like,
Alexander?
How good do we think Zakai Ziegler really, like, truly is? Or is it just we're so pumped because the bar was really, really low and he was, I mean, he's obviously a good contributor, but, like, is Zakai Ziegler, like, the starting point guard on the Final Four team good? Or is it
I mean, he's as good as Mateen Cleaves was at Michigan State. I'm potentially.
Mateen Cleaves.
Maybe when he was hurt.
Where did that come from anyway?
Yeah, he was a shorter guy.
Oh, okay.
Not that.
Is he from New York? I don't know. I just was trying to.
Mateen Cleaves?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where the tie came from. I mean, that's going back a ways. Hickman doesn't even know Mateen Cleaves.
Has no idea.
I've heard the name.
Okay.
No,
Mateen Cleaves is 44 years old right now.
But it's a good comparison.
He had a great smile.
Big smile. I mean, people loved him. He was 6'2", 205.
He was from Flint, Michigan.
I know, yeah.
He was from the Bronx.
I didn't say he was from the Bronx.
I know,
you said that.
I was just...
He was a Seattle Supersonic.
He's also 6'2".
Hickman, have you ever heard of the Seattle Supersonic?
He was not...
Dude, I love the Supersonics.
He was not under the radar. He was on radar.
He was
6'2".
He was on radar.
Are we saving a spot for Tyrese Hunter?
He's the 14th pick in the draft. Is Ziegler going to go top 15?
I'll have to scout him out this year.
Mateen Cleaves. What a pull. Dude's 44 years old.
Hell of a player, though. Didn't he get hurt in like the national championship game and they won it? He was like limping around out there?
Maybe.
Yeah, he could do it.
Okay. Supersonics. R.I.P.
Ooh.
What?
Apparently he was in a major... Goodness gracious. He was a passenger in a rollover accident on his recruiting trip to Michigan, so he went to Michigan State.
No.
He was a three-time captain. And yes, the 2000 National Championship was the MOP of the Final Four.
Yeah, he was.
Could Zakai be the most outstanding player in the Final Four? Yes. Yes, I think he could be.
I just don't.
Nate, he was like 17 last year. He had some big games, hit some big shots.
He needs to work on that on his three-point shooting.
What are you talking about?
Ziegler?
He was good. He was like 38%, wasn't he?
I mean, you're wanting him to become the MOP. You're wanting him to become the best player in the biggest moment in all of college basketball. I think he's going to have to shoot a little better from three to make that happen.
Not if he works on the dunks. He's a slasher. If he gets that floater down, he's going to be dangerous. You wait. No one can stay in front of him.
Okay.
Awaka.
We'll come back and get the phone lines.
Mateen Cleaves and the Honky Tonks.
Hour two continues. Back to the phone lines. Talking Tennessee football schedule and Tennessee basketball recruiting. Got another one.
Don't say basketball recruiting as much.
We'll see what year he's going to be in. 865-546-8200.
We already know.
8200.
We know what's going to happen here. We don't need to pretend to assume like he's going to reclassify. It's going to work. He'll learn from Jonas Adu and Uros Blavzic.
Back to the phone lines. Got DeBrady on the horn. What's up, buddy? You're on three and out.
You know, as far as Waka Waka Pac-Man fever, you know, I think that's a good move to go ahead and get that kid. They've looked at him for a few months now. And my first reaction or response was, you know, this is a referral.
Yeah.
Usually referrals are slam dunks. So look into that what you will. But I think we found a loophole going back to last year. Just go up there and burn a kid or two out, burn an apartment down, and, you know, your NIL is not affected at all. We've seen that. If you can play, we'll burn your house down.
I don't think that was intentional. I think it was an accident to Brady.
Well, I guess there's always two sides to the story. Moving on to baseball, let's shift gears. Of course, we got our last home game tonight. It's already been mentioned. Going into an away series against a struggling Mississippi State. I've got concerns, and it's not that I don't love our team. I do. But if you look at their trendings, they're trending down. And I'm not sure why. It seems like ever since Tidwell come back into the lineup, everybody across the board is not performing like they did pre-Tidwell. And, I mean, we can argue about it all day long, but the facts are the facts. We're 3-3 in our last six SEC games. We're 5-4 in our last nine. Of course, our first nine, we started off 9-0. And I understand everybody says, well, it's baseball. You can't be on a 150-game track. Well, this is not the Major League base. This is not Major Leagues. We don't have to be on a 150-game track. We just got to be on a 45, 50, you know, game track. It's just unfortunate. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but we'll see. Mississippi State's struggling. We're going to go on the road, which sometimes we struggle, sometimes we ain't. I guess it depends. If it's Kentucky, we struggle. Well, this is a team that probably ain't going to capture our attention except for the ring they're wearing. Thoughts?
I'm blaming Kentucky on the weather.
Do you think part of it is we were so good that eventually we were just kind of going to get disinterested a little bit, lose that edge just a little bit, and maybe as postseason play starts and hopefully, you win a couple games in the SEC tournament and it gets the kind of championship time, that fire comes back, and, by the time you're in the regionals, super regionals, we're playing back at, that earlier season high level? Or do you think putting Tidwell in the lineup has made kind of all the pitchers a little uneasy about their role?
Well, I mean, the numbers say that Tidwell come in, the whole team chemistry changed up. It just flipped. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but how many teams have you ever seen that go through it? I mean, let's be honest. I don't care what the Ron Franklin says or whoever. Team sports is a momentum game, and you want to have momentum going toward, especially if you're in a championship run. We don't have momentum. We just don't. And, I mean, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but the numbers pan
out. The three strikes, you're out, Brady. I mean, it's on Tuesday. You can't be the bearer of bad news three times, man.
David DeLucci,
he's right about the numbers, but, I mean, it's possible has nothing to do with Tidwell coming back. It's just a coincidence.
It is possible, but to his point, it did kind of start when that happened.
Maybe the pitchers got a little tight once they knew he was coming back.
But how do you explain the hitting numbers falling when a pitcher, changes? Like, that makes sense.
It could just be the mojo.
We're playing better competition. That's all it is. I mean, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss were both overrated to start the season. Vandy's found their groove. Georgia's a damn good team. Auburn's a damn good team.
Yeah, I mean, you won both series.
I mean, nobody has momentum right now in the top five if you just want to go on.
If you don't play a stinker at Kentucky, a lot of what he just said doesn't matter.
That
isn't even true.
That's true. If you win that series.
Yeah, if you take two or three against Kentucky, you sweep them, you're sitting here and you're just riding high right now.
I mean, it's weird because I get what DeBrady's saying, but we are SEC champs with a series left to play. Like, we wrap that up. It's over. The momentum thing, I get what he's saying, though. It has felt a little bit different. But to Nate's point, when you're playing so well, I mean, we saw the graph. We're the moon, and everyone else is on Earth. David DeLucci, who played at Ole Miss, says, this is the best team college baseball has ever seen top to bottom. We are 45-7. We are by far the best team in the country. I think, in a way, and I'm guilty of this too, I think we have set the expectations for this team so high that anything that falls short of that is almost viewed as a failure. I mean, you just took two out of three from Georgia. You took their best pitcher and touched him up. And then you lost the Saturday game, lost game three. And it's been kind of a weird year because you've had some guys hurt, and then you get them back, and it hasn't been a very consistent season in that regard.
Right.
But I think, in a way, a lot of that can benefit you once you get to the postseason. Because Tennessee's got more starting pitching right now than anyone in the country. Would we agree on that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It might not even be close. Like, we have five bona fide starters.
Most guys, or most teams, have one.
One, maybe two. And usually the gap between one and two is still pretty significant.
I mean, and then three is usually just like, hopefully we've clinched the series by Sunday.
Exactly. We've got the arms. The bats cooling off a little bit has been strange. Although, I mean, I said that. What was 9-2 in the Friday game against Georgia?
I mean, the theory that we hit better against great pitching is pretty damn accurate.
It is. It's true.
We like the swing. We're not the most disciplined team at the plate. We got a couple of guys like Lipsius. I mean, if anybody's going to go up there and get you a walk, Lipsius. But Cannon pounds the strike zone, and we touched him up.
Yep. We get in trouble when we know the guy's kind of wild and we sit there and take good pitches thinking that they're going to be bad pitches. We like to swing at strikes. Can't believe you flushed old DeBrady.
It's Optimism Tuesday. He said bearer of bad news three times.
He said he wasn't trying to be the bearer of bad news.
But that's admitting that you are.
No, it's admitting that he wasn't trying to. He was just bringing facts to the show.
But still, you're unintentionally bearing the bad news.
You're even aware of it.
But he's not trying to do it.
I don't think you know what this phrase means. Hour two continues here on Three and Out. This segment brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Oh, it feels great in here right now. It's all made possible with Blue Water Climate Control. Got a whole new system. It's Knoxville's highest rated HVAC company. Call them today, 865-412-4557, or go to bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. It's all smooth sailing with Blue Water Climate Control. When people are writing the article that you're the best team of all time up to this point.
Yeah. And he's a former college World Series champion. He knows some things.
You were playing at the highest level of any time of any team all time.
Yeah.
So the fact that I think that's the only fact that was in that call is that they aren't playing quite as well as they have at an earlier point in the season.
Tony said that in some post-game stuff where he's like, they have set their own standards so high, and they have shown that level of play that when they don't hit it, you know, it's not like they're playing terrible baseball, but, I mean, it's a lot of games. But you've won 45, lost 7.
Yeah.
I do get his point, though. I mean, you've lost your 3-3 in your last 6 SEC games, but I don't know. You've only lost one series. It was a road rainer with nobody there at Kentucky. We'll see what happens at Mississippi State this week.
You can't say. I mean, you can't be like, "Well, the postseason's all that matters," and then freak out when you lose some regular season games. You know, you can't have it both ways.
Do we think this team's just ready for the postseason?
That's what I think.
I mean, you two have been that way for. You know, I've sitting back and saying, I'm just going to enjoy the games as they come, enjoy the season. I mean, it's a spectacular run. But if you guys are starting to feel a little bit like, all right, let's get to some tournament play, I can only imagine that the guys are. It's a grind. I mean, it's a long season.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I think they're done with finals now, but, you know, some guys had some finals yesterday. Mm-hmm. So now it's all ball. They'll be fine. Best team ever. I mean, that has to be it, right? Just
ready, or just that they were that
white hot.
They were so hot that like you just can't be that hot for a long stretch of time. Will they get that hot again? It might not even matter.
Right.
You know, I mean, they can win tons of games playing at not that level.
Right.
That level's still better than everybody in the country. So it's just no one's gonna know until you're in a regional and you either win, I mean, and you either play really well, play pretty well, play average, but the other team plays worse. Like, who knows?
What are your thoughts on the SEC tournament?
I mean, momentum in baseball stops at tomorrow's starting pitcher. That's a Major League Series truth. Momentum in baseball only goes as far as tomorrow's starting pitcher. I mean, watch Major League Baseball, best of seven. Sometimes one team just looks insanely good, games one and two, and then game three, the other team's pitcher just has a great night, shuts them down, and it can change the whole series. Or game two, or game four, you know, just whatever. So we'll just have to see how they pitch. Now, what did you ask me?
SEC tournament. Do they need to win it?
No, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you probably either want to win it.
Get knocked out early.
Or just lose the first two, yeah.
What are your thoughts, Hickman? Can this team lose the SEC tournament and still be A-okay?
Okay. Yeah. You don't want to make this team mad. Anything they can use for motivation to fuel them on their national championship run, it'll help. Now, would it be cool to win it? Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of go back and forth here. I'd like to win the SEC tournament, but I do wonder if not winning it, I don't want to say refocuses them. I don't think this team has a focus problem. But, yeah, pisses them off a little bit. Or if you win it, do you feel invincible and you're playing loose throughout, you know, the postseason?
But honestly, though, like if you look at it just from a odds standpoint, your odds of winning both probably not that great. Your odds of winning the national championship if you lose the SEC tournament probably higher
than if you were to win the SEC tournament. Why do you say that?
I'm just looking at history.
Hmm. I'd like to just win every game we play from now on.
And I'm just broken. Yeah.
What?
Just broken. Tennessee fan, you know.
Are you holding Tony Vitello accountable for what Rick Barnes did to you in the postseason? Is that what's going on here?
Not just Rick Barnes. It's been about every coach of my lifetime.
Okay. I just wonder if there's not a little bit in you that's like, well, the basketball team won the SEC tournament and then I don't know if I think that's fair.
I'm going to be a nervous wreck come postseason play.
Yeah. Brad makes a good point. Tennessee run ruled Mississippi State last year in Hoover. Mississippi State won the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should get run ruled. I don't think that would be a good look for anybody. Mm-hmm. When does run rule start? Or is it the whole tournament?
I guess the whole tournament.
Mm-hmm. Let's just focus on Belmont. Let's send these seniors out with a sellout crowd, which it is. Get a nice win, and then a lovely trip to Starkville. All right.
2010, South Carolina lost both games, won the national championship. 2011, they lost game two, won the national championship. I don't know.
In Hoover?
Yeah. This team has enough pitching to where I don't think it's a big deal, which is nice.
Yeah.
So, I think they can win it, and it's not going to affect them negatively.
Sure.
If they lose it. I mean, what coach was it last year that said it's harder to win the SEC tournament than to go to Omaha? Said that. I mean, that's 100%
true. Was that a coach, or was that like KP?
I thought like...
Or Burke or something.
Maybe. Because remember, Arkansas didn't make it to Omaha last year.
No.
But, I mean, if you think about it, the SEC tournament, you're playing multiple – you have to beat multiple teams in one-game scenarios that are super regional good.
Yeah.
Whereas to make Omaha, you have to get out – if you have a if you're a seeded team, you have to get out of a regional where no one in that region – in your regional is as good as the top 6-7 teams in the SEC tournament, and then you have to beat one team that's like that in a best 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So, like, it's harder to win the SEC tournament than it is to make it to Omaha.
I'd still like to win it.
Okay. Like I said, I don't think it hurts us to win it. Like, I mean, it kind of did for some for teams that didn't have pitching like ours.
Just got to wake up the bats. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit more consistent throughout the weekends. That's all.
Yep. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two, next. Final segment, hour number two. It's brought to you by Smarter Searches. Check them out online at smartersearches.com. It's your digital marketing team right here in Knoxville that can help you out to reach the customer that you need in your business. It's smartersearches.com. Web, marketing, everything. Proud sponsors of fanrunradio.com right here on 3 and Out in Fox Sports Knoxville. Yeah, last year Tennessee lost game one, of course, 3-2 against Alabama. That was that weird.
Yeah, the way they cheated
or whatever. Then run rolled Mississippi State, run rolled Alabama, 4-0 over Florida. That was the game Camden Sewell pitched because we were out of pitching.
It was lights out.
And then Heflin got the loss against Arkansas in the final, where Tennessee lost 7-2.
Yeah, we ran out of pitching last year.
I mean, five games, like.
Brett asks, can you be the best team ever and lose the SEC tournament?
No.
You can if you go on and win the Natty.
Yeah, I guess so.
We just said it doesn't matter. South Carolina lost.
Yeah. I don't
know if they'd be viewed the same.
Yeah, I think that's what he's asking. Can you be kind of the unquestioned best team ever if you don't win the SEC tournament? And maybe the answer is no. But
do we care about being the best team ever if we don't win the national championship?
No, that's
like you can't have that.
Yeah, that's a timing question, right? After you've won the national championship, you can debate how good the team was all time, but no one wants to have that debate before that happens. And if it doesn't happen, it's a moot point. So I would rather just not even worry about it.
Right.
I don't even care. Like, It's really the only way to think about it right now. Like, what? Which, I know that it kind of stinks, but just the way it is. I mean, what team are we beating? That's what's weird, because all the teams that had those great records never finished it off. Who is the best team of all time that, you know, did win the national championship?
Did that LSU team that hit all those home runs win it all? Is that the one?
I know some of those LSU teams won. I don't know if it's that exact one.
Mm-hmm.
Probably did, but I don't know how. Like, that's what's weird is there's not like that one team that, or if there is, and I don't know. Maybe I just haven't heard about it. But let's go to the phone lines. We'll get Matthew's thoughts on the matter. What's up, Matthew? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, Nate. Hey, Houston. Hey, Adam. How are we doing this morning?
Hanging in there.
I'm kind of confused here. I'm by no means a baseball follower. I cheer for the Vols. I hope they do well. But I was asking Callum this in our group chat. But what defines success for this team? Because from talking with him, it's like this morning, you know, at the beginning of the year, we lost a couple guys to injuries. We lost a couple guys to the draft. And it feels almost like this, as the season's progressed, the expectations have shifted, which is fine. You want high expectations, but we as fans, like, I don't know. I'm sorry for the vagueness of this, but what is defining a successful year at Lindsey Nelson? Because, I mean, we've won the SEC for the first time since 1995. I was happy. And I think anything past that, you've done the right thing. But if this team was to have, respectfully, of course, a letdown, would it still be a successful year? I think so. But it almost feels like us as fans at the University of Tennessee, we just respectfully want championships, as every fan base should. But the same thing happened in basketball. We won the SEC, and all of a sudden we didn't make it to the next weekend, and it's a bad year. I mean, what are the expectations for us as fans? I know that changes in every single sport, but I'll let y'all hang up and listen to that. Thanks, guys.
I think with basketball, the expectation when the season started was to make the Sweet 16, and we didn't make it. For baseball, I think it was make it back to Omaha.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, I know weren't.
I think that was the goal. Would you say that was the expectation?
Maybe before the injuries. Now, yeah. Once Tidwell was out, and
once Halverson and Tidwell went down, I definitely was not thinking win the regular season championship.
No, not.
I wasn't thinking win the SEC tournament, and I was. I mean, I guess because Omaha's just that's everybody's goal. I don't know if it was the expectation, especially with everything you lost off of last year's team. But like Matthew said, the expectations kind of go and change and evolve as the season goes on. And when you saw what this team did to start the season, and then the run they go on, what was our record at one point? Like 33-1 or something?
Yeah.
Like, you have to kind of adjust the lens, right? At that point, you can't say, oh, well, you know, just go out there and have fun. At that point, you're thinking, okay, we're pretty damn good. And yeah, you've lost a couple games here and there, but the number one. Did you think we'd be number one at any point this season?
No,
right? At all. I didn't, you know, with what everybody was talking about the SEC and how good Arkansas was going to be and how good Ole Miss was going to be and Mississippi State, defending champs, Vanderbilt. Did you think you were going to have the regular season locked up a week to go in the season? Did you think that? We didn't really project this season, right? Like, we talked about it. We were excited about it. But I don't think we said, if Tony Vitello doesn't win the SEC championship, this season has not been a failure. Now, is it gonna sting if you don't bring home some hardware, either from Hoover or Omaha? Yeah,
you gotta establish the difference between what's a letdown and a failure.
Yeah,
if we don't win a national championship, I will be very, very let down.
Not a failure, though.
Not a failure. And do I think we should win the national championship when we have a team this good?
Mm.
Yes, I think we should. And there's no way to look at it. If you don't win the national championship, you're going to be let down, as you should. But does that mean the season's a failure? No.
And that's what makes this team so weird, right?
The postseason can be a failure based on your body of work from the regular season without the season being a failure, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I'm a Tennessee basketball fan, so I get it.
Yeah, it just can.
But that's the thing. Like, you know, we go into the season and we're thinking, oh, you know, had a good run last year. Let's see if we can maybe get back.
I expect us to be one of the best 16 teams in the country.
Yeah.
Playing in a that's super about to where, go to Omaha.
That's about where we started, right? Weren't we like 16, somewhere between 16 and 20? But then you go sweep Ole Miss and you've been number one ever since.
Crazy.
Ever since SEC regular season championship, locked it up. Arkansas fans, not tweeting anymore. They're quiet. Vanderbilt fans, they aren't tweeting anymore. They know.
Except for that one girl.
Well, yeah, she can't help herself.
Well, here's some options. 1995, Cal State Fullerton Titans. This was a, like, you know, this day in history tweet from, you know, 2020. Says, on this day in 1995, Cal State Fullerton won the College World Series. They were considered to be the best college baseball team of all time. The Titans' last loss came on April 28, 1995. They would go on to win 18 straight games all the way through to the championship. Their record that season was 57-9.
It's pretty good.
Their number two on this list is greatest all time. This writer has the 1983 Texas Longhorns as the greatest team of all time.
83. Okay.
Led by a guy named Roger Clemens on the mound.
I feel like I've heard that name before.
They were 66-14. Also went undefeated in Omaha. 12-0, 6-5, 6-4, 4-2, 4-3. They finished the regular season 49-12. They're 18-3 in the Big 12. They won 13 of their last 15 regular season games. Went 3-1 in their conference tournament. Lost a game in the regional. Then there wasn't like a super though. So went 5-1 in the regional and then 5-0 at the College World Series. They had Clemens and Calvin Schiraldi drafted in the first round, Mike Brumley in the second, and Jeff Heron in the fourth. So loaded with a lot of
pretty good
MLB talent. 66-14 for that team. And that Cal State Fullerton team was 57-9. What's our record right now? What's our record, Wally?
45-7.
45-7.
Callum makes the case for 2019 Vanderbilt. They were 59-12 overall, 23-7 in the SEC. Eastern Division champs, regular season champs, tournament champs, College World Series champs.
I think the article I have is from, no, this has tweets from 2020, so it's up to date, I guess. Okay.
What were the total losses for those two teams?
You said like Cal State Fullerton was 57-9.
Nine, okay.
Yeah, and the Texas team had a few more losses. Yep. They were 66-14.
We're 45-7.
So, I mean, if you end up 60-9 or whatever it is, yeah, you'll be right there at it.
How about 60-7?
Whatever it is. I don't know. 2001 Miami is next. I don't know. Like 53-12.
I'm just saying, like, the seven losses at this point in the season is pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, here you go. Number four on the list, 2019, Vanderbilt. There you go. All right, come back. Kickoff hour three next.